Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Casey Uhlenhut from Microsoft.
Ooh, fancy. Well, that was the fanciest introduction I've ever gotten. So, hi everyone, I'm Casey Uhlenhut. I'm a program manager on the .NET Managed Languages team at Microsoft. And I'm here today to talk to you guys about Roslyn Analyzers. So as a brief overview of what I'm gonna cover in this talk is I'm first gonna talk about what Roslyn is and why we started the Roslyn project. Then I'm gonna go over some terminology of what analyzers, fixers, and code-aware libraries are. Then I'm gonna briefly delve into what an overview of the syntax tree API is, which is basically the API if you write Roslyn analyzers today, what you're using. Then I'm gonna talk about this in-progress API that we're working on now called ioperation. And then at the end, we're gonna finish, we're gonna write a lot of code, we're gonna write an analyzer and a fixer in this in-progress API that we're working on today. Does that sound good? Cool. So what is Roslyn? Roslyn is the project that we started about 7 years ago, where we decided to completely rewrite the C# and Visual Basic compiler from scratch. And we really had two goals for doing this. We wanted to write the whole thing in managed code so that we could write new features faster. And so when I mean new features, I mean new language features, as well as new IDE features. And then the second goal was really to create an open source API surface so that any developer in the community can write these really smart code-focused tools and technologies. Roslyn has now finally shipped. Even though it started 7 years ago, it shipped in July 2015, which is just under a year ago. And it's shipped in Visual Studio 2015. And now, actually this month in April, is the second year of Roslyn being open source, which is pretty exciting. And actually in that 2 years that we've been open source, there have been an incredible amount of projects in the community that have come out and used Roslyn. And actually Xamarin is at the forefront of that. You probably saw in Nat's keynote, Miguel showed that Xamarin Studio 6 uses Roslyn for its entire type system and a lot of the IDE functionality. And then he also showed Xamarin Inspector, which uses its own scripting stack that's completely built on Roslyn and uses some of our code completion APIs. So that's just some of the cool things that have come out with Roslyn. And if you don't have a huge team behind you, there's still a lot that you can build with Roslyn, and that's what Roslyn analyzers are. And so the best way to show what an analyzer is just to actually show it to you. So we're just gonna go straight into Visual Studio. And in this project, I've actually installed three different analyzers, and I've installed them in three different ways. But so first, what is an analyzer? An analyzer is basically a tool that does basically static analysis on your code and reports diagnostics or errors. So this typically manifests in the editor as squiggles. So if you work in Visual Studio, you see all these squiggles, that's analyzers running in the background. But basically, at its core, an analyzer is just any C# code that can basically hook into your build pipeline, it can hook into Visual Studio, and then hopefully in the future, it'll hook into other editors as well. So you can see here that analyzers show up in my error list. So you can see here I have three analyzers that are running. And so the first, you see down here that also, analyzers have severities. So you can see there's the three different severities shown here. So there's an informational severity, there's a warning severity, and there's an error severity. And these all manifest themselves in the editor in different ways. So the first one we're going to start with is the informative one, which is right here. And we can see that what it's doing is it's actually fading out the return keyword. And so this analyzer is actually C# Essentials, which was written by our very own Dustin Campbell in the audience. And so what the C# Essentials analyzer package does is it's basically trying to teach you where in your code you can use C# 6 language features. And so because it's not really an error or a warning and it really shouldn't break your program, they're just an informative analyzer, so it just fades things out. And so this is where our fixers come along, because now if I use the quick action menu here, I can see that I now get a one-click fix to actually adjust this error that I have to switch it to what it would be fixed. So this just converts this to an expression-bodied member. When I do that, you can see right here, it converted it into an expression-bodied member. So that's just one kind of analyzer. Another one is I have the FX COP analyzers installed here. So the Roslyn team has spent a lot of time. We took the top used FX COP rules and we converted them into these analyzers. So now, as you're typing, you can figure out which FX COP's rules you're violating. So you can see here, if I hover, it says, oh, I forgot the serializable attribute on this class. And so now I can access my fixer, and in one click, it will now add my serializable attribute to my class. And so hopefully you're starting to see like how analyzers work and really like how productive they can make you. And the last one I have here is you can see var is squiggled, and it's like, why is var squiggled? And it now says I should use an explicit type instead of var, which I know code style is super contentious, and like even on the Roslyn team, we still fight about this stuff from time to time. But this is just an analyzer running in the background doing code style now. And this is actually something we shipped in Visual Studio 15 preview, which is not 2015, but it's like the upcoming Visual Studio. I gotta like really concentrate to get that right. And so code style is something that we added there and that we're experimenting with. So now we made it so you can write analyzers that enforce code style across your entire project. And hopefully in the future we'll have a way of packaging them all together so you can enforce code style across your team, and it can be different for every project. And so the way that you get to that today is you can just go to code style up here, and then you can see that I have var preferences, and I decided for built-in types that I want to prefer the explicit type over var, and I'm going to make it of severity error in my editor. And so again, all code style analyzers come with fixers. Right now I can use explicit type. You can see a preview of the fix, and in one click, it fixes it. So that was pretty much what analyzers are and them in action. And so just to quickly recap all the different things you can do with them, you can use analyzers to identify errors before you compile. So that was like the FX COP one where we added the iserializable or the serializable attribute. You can use them to enforce code style rules that you have. You can use them to introduce best practices for your SDK. So this is something that we call code-aware libraries. So as a library author, you might find that people keep running into the same problem over and over and over again. And they probably, like, either you don't have the documentation for it, or it's in a blog, or they can't find it. And so a way to basically help them as they're coding is you can now write these analyzers and package them with fixers so they can, all these common errors that they come across that you know about as a library author, you can basically preempt them by writing an analyzer and then squiggling it for them and then be like, oh, hey, did you know you could use this instead of this? And that's just an easy way to now teach people best practices for how to use your library. And what's really great about analyzers now that you can write these so you don't have to depend on our team, because we don't know your library better than you do. You know your library way better. And so it's awesome now that you can write your own analyzers to enforce things that you want your users to do. And lastly, you saw with Dustin's C# Essentials package that you can use analyzers as a teaching tool to teach new language features or new concepts, et cetera. And so probably a super meta case of this is we had a bunch of interns last summer on the Roslyn team, and they wrote an analyzer that taught you how to write an analyzer, which is super meta. And it was really cool, but it just goes to show that you can do a lot with analyzers today, and we're still pushing the boundaries to see what you can do. All right, so before we get into writing these things, let's just quickly cover what the APIs look like. So today, if you write an analyzer, you use the syntax tree API, which basically has two components to it. It has the syntax tree, which is a high fidelity representation of your code. Basically, this includes all your comments, all your white space, and all your like end of line trivia. That's all included in the syntax tree. And then you have a thing called the semantic model. And the semantic model basically contains all your any information relating to the meaning of your program and like the symbolic information that you need. And the way that these two components interact is that they interact in basically a question-answer model. So from the syntax tree, if you're basically if you have an array and you want to figure out what the type of the array is, you ask the semantic model, and the semantic model will return an answer to you. And so This API is really great if you're writing like refactorings, for example, because you have this high fidelity representation of the code and you can like preserve all their formatting and everything as you're doing refactorings. Or if you're writing a formatting engine, you really need to know where all the white space is. So you can write really powerful things with the syntax tree API. However, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, because sometimes like an if statement is just an if statement. And I don't want to think about all the different shapes of an if statement just to write an analyzer that analyzes the condition of it. And so sometimes we just really want this extra layer of abstraction on top of our on top of the API. And this is where ioperation comes in. And so ioperation is kind of this like natural progression of the evolution of the Roslyn APIs. And what it's doing is it's exposing the bound tree, which is just a data structure that describes how names are bound to their declarations. And basically what I mean by that is it's basically an API, a semantic API, that abstracts over the syntax tree. So you don't have to worry about the nitty-gritty details of white space and like how if statements can be different and have different shapes. And so where this actually comes into play also is, for example, if an if statement has different shapes, the abstraction layer that we've provided is so high level that it even abstracts across languages. So analyzers that you write with ioperation in C# will also now work for Visual Basic, just because we've abstracted so far. And so another like Xamarin-specific way of talking about this is, I was talking with Mads and Dustin, and an analogy we came up with was basically ioperation is the Xamarin forms of the Roslyn APIs. So when you build mobile apps, you know, when you're doing your UI, you have to do a different one for each mobile platform. And then Xamarin Forms came along, you had one general way of writing your UI. But if you really do want to get into the native capabilities, you still can. Well, ioperation is the same way, where it's this general API that has a high-level abstraction layer. But then if you want to get into the nitty-gritty of language-specific things, you can still combine it with the syntax tree API to get this stuff done. All right, so now let's finally just write this thing. So we're going to write an analyzer and a fixer. The analyzer that we're going to write basically is just going to identify where you've newed up a zero-length array. So anytime we see a zero-length array, we're going to squiggle it. And then we're going to write a fixer that suggests you use array.empty instead, which is a 4-6 framework thing. So let's just get right into this. All right, so first, when you want to build an analyzer, we were super nice and made a template for you. So you can just go to New, Project. Under Extensibility, there's something called an analyzer with a code fix. And so basically, we've already created a template for you that has an analyzer template and a code fix template in it. So woohoo, all the hard work done. So now I just have to actually implement it. And right now, the default template comes with a really dummy analyzer that we've already written. I think it makes all types uppercase, I think is what it does. I've gone ahead and deleted all that boilerplate because we don't need that. And so now before we actually get writing code, we're just going to walk through three tools that we have to help you write these analyzers. So the first is if we F5. When we F5, we're actually opening a new instance of Visual Studio that has your analyzer installed in it. So this is basically the best way to actually test that your analyzer works. So I have this, and then as this loads, basically, if you see a squiggle in there under the expression you wanted it to, that means your analyzer probably works, which is pretty cool. Cool. So we can see in here, nothing squiggled because I haven't implemented anything yet, so that's something good. The next tool that we have is the syntax visualizer. And what this does is it's going to show you what the syntax tree is for whatever expression you highlight. So I can highlight this part of the expression, and I can see over here, I can see that it's an array creation expression, it has an array type in it, et cetera. And if you're a visual person like me, you can right click and do view directed graph, and then you can actually see a graph version of this, which is much nicer. Much nicer to look at. So this is how you can see the shape and all the different nodes and nodes and tokens that are involved in your expression. And so now if we go back to this, we can actually see there are multiple ways to new up a zero-length array in C#, which is where IOperation comes in. So now instead of having to worry about how these are two different shapes, I have basically the abstraction layer that I need to write one analyzer that only has to consider the one way that both these things are array creation expressions, and that's all that matters. And the last tool we have is documentation, which is the source code. Oh, okay, fun. So yay, documentation. So you can see here, I have the IOperation interface up here. And we can see it has something called an operation kind, which is if you use the old API, it's the same as like syntax kind. We have a syntax, we have type, and we have a constant value. So we're just gonna drill into operation kind, which is an enum. You can see all the different members. So it has if statements, loop statements, using statements, stop statements, end statements, invocation expressions, parameters, et cetera, et cetera. But what we're interested in is the array creation expression, which we can see one of those exists. Phew. And then we can drill in deeper into the interface for this. And we can see here that this is not syntactic information that we're getting from this API. It's all semantic. So instead of having to keep asking questions to the semantic API, all the information I need is right here. So we can see that an IArray creation expression has an element type, which is gonna come in handy when we write our fixer and we need to figure out what type our generic is. And then we have dimension sizes, which we're gonna need to see if our array creation expression is zero length, because if it's not, we're not gonna squiggle it. And so we'll just lock those away in our brain as we go write the analyzer. Cool. All right, so this is what the template looks like for writing an analyzer. Basically, the only thing that really matters is this initialized method down here, but I'll just walk through really quickly what all the rest of this is. So basically up here, it's just the title, the message, the description, et cetera, for your analyzer. So here's the resources file for it. So we're just gonna add in here, woohoo! So you know that this is real. Xamarin Evolve 2016, woo! Okay, save that. And then, so that's just all that stuff up there. And then we define what our rule is. And in the rule is where you have something called the diagnostic severity, which is where you determine how you want this to manifest in the editor. So do you want there to be a red squiggle, a green squiggle, or do you want it to be faded out? And so you can see in here that you have all the different severities that you can set. We're just gonna keep it as a warning though. All right, so initialize. What initialize does is it gives you a context, which is all the information you can access at this point. And then what you're gonna do is you're going to register a callback in this function that then when the compiler hits a certain node or token that you specify, or in this case, an operation that you specify, it's going to call that callback. So what we're gonna do right now is we actually have to have two callbacks because the first one we need to see if we're targeting the 4.6 version of the framework, because if we're not, there's no point in running this analyzer. So you can see there's a bunch of different register actions in here. And that basically just says when you want to register your callback. So you can do it at a code block, which is like a method body. You can do it at the compilation. You can do it at operation, syntax, symbol, et cetera. So we're gonna do a register compilation start action. We're gonna have our start context. And then we're gonna check and see if our compilation has a system.array and its assembly somewhere. So we're gonna do start context, compilation, and then there's a thing called get type by metadata name. So that's system.array. And then we're gonna see if in this we have the member empty, and then we know that this analyzer will work. And then if we do all this, then we're gonna register our actual operation action, which is the main good stuff. But in here, this could be null, so we're gonna use the C#6 feature, which then makes this a nullable bool, so we'll fix that up. Cool, so now in here is where we get to the good stuff. So we're going to register an operation action, which if you see here, oh, nope. register operation action. It registers an action to be executed at the completion of the semantic analysis of an I operation with the appropriate kind. So remember before we were looking at the kind we're looking at is array creation expression. So we're gonna register our operation action, and we're gonna give it the callback. So we're just gonna call our callback analyze operation. And then we're gonna give it the operation kind array creation expression. Boom, and so all we've done right there is we've verified that we're targeting the 4.6 version of the framework, and then we've defined our callback that will run whenever the compiler finds the operation array creation expression. And so now we're just gonna generate our callback, and we're gonna rename this context. And now we get into the good stuff. So let's investigate what's in a context here. We can see don't gray out. Ah, fiddle. One more time. Okay. Nope. All right. Well, hopefully you all can see this. But it has a cancellation token because everything's async and we don't want to block the UI. It has a compilation, it has an operation, and it has options. So what we want is the operation because that is our array creation expression. So we're just going to go ahead and put this in a variable, array creation. And then now that we have our operation, we actually want to cast it as our array creation expression so that we can access that dimension sizes. So you can see here, dimension sizes. Dimension sizes is a property now. Okay, so now basically what we're doing is we're just trying to figure out if this array creation expression we have is a zero-length array, and if it is, we're gonna report a diagnostic. So that's literally all you do to write this analyzer. So first thing we need to do is see if it is a zero-length array, so we're just gonna do a bunch of checks right here. So we're gonna see if the dimension size is length. If it doesn't equal one, this isn't gonna work, and also if the dimensions don't actually have a value at compile time, then we don't want to do anything, so we're just going to return. And this should be, does not. All right, so now we actually know that our dimensions have a value, so we're going to just set that. So dimension sizes, we know it's a length one, we know it has a value, so we're going to get its value. And then, oh, we got an error. That's because I still have my code style analyzer running, so it wants me to use my explicit type here, so we can see that the dimension is actually an object, which means we have to actually check if this is an int, and then once it is an int, we're gonna cast it and see if the dimensions are zero, meaning it's a zero length array, and then now we can report the diagnostic. And we can see this would have been an amazing case for pattern matching if you went to Dustin and Mads' talk. So what we're gonna do now is create our diagnostic. So let's create our diagnostic. It takes a diagnostic descriptor, which if you remember from up above, this was the rule that we defined above that had our severity and everything in it. So we're going to create that. And then it has a location is what it wants. And the location is basically the squiggle, like where you want that squiggle to appear. So it's like the exact text span in the document of where your expression is that you want the squiggle to appear under. So what we do for that is we're going to go from our operation, we're gonna access a syntax and then get that syntax's location. Are we following along here? Am I doing all right? All right. So, thank you. All right, and then what I usually forget to do is actually report the diagnostic once we create it, so we're gonna remember to do it this time. All right, and so voila, in like 10 lines of code, we've written an analyzer. So let's verify it worked by F5ing. And so now when we open up that example I had before, we should start to see squiggles under our expressions where we have zero length arrays. All right, so now it's analyzing. And then when it finishes analyzing, we see, voila, look at that. And then to prove to you that it actually worked, you can see that it has the Xamarin Evolve 2016 in it. Awesome. So we just wrote our first analyzer, and it was literally like 10 lines of code. So this stuff is really easy to do, but it's really powerful. So now let's move on to writing the code fix. So the code fix, if we go in here, we can see that it takes a diagnostic ID, which is the same ID that we created from our analyzer. You can have multiple analyzers that apply for a fix and vice versa, which is why everything's an enumerable. And so again, the most important thing here is just this register code fixes async method that we have. And so what we're going to do in here is let's like first take a look at what our context is here, because our context is always changing. Ugh, it faded out again. Hover over so it won't disappear. Nope. Oh man, brutal. Okay, can you all read that, maybe? Okay, well, so basically the context has a cancellation token, which again, so you don't block the UI. It has the diagnostics that are relevant to this code fix. It has a document, which a document is basically analogous to what a document is in Visual Studio. So you have a document's part of a project, which is part of a solution. And also the document contains the syntax tree and the semantic model in it. And then we also have the span, which is the same thing that we sent in from the analyzer. So what we're gonna do here is we're gonna register our code fix, and this takes a code action, takes a code action. Oh, IntelliSense. Okay, it takes a code action. We're gonna create one. So it takes a title, it takes a create change document, it takes an equivalence key, et cetera. And so we'll put these all on different lines so you can read it, actually. And then at the end, we have to put what diagnostic this refers to. So we're gonna put context.diagnostics. We only have one, so we're just gonna grab the first one. And there we go. So the title is the title that we have up top defined here. I like already filled it out because no, you don't need to see me type that out. And then our equivalence key is just gonna be the title. And then now what we're working on is just, we're gonna write a lambda that's going to have our callback for registering our code fix, or for applying our code fix. So we're just gonna have our cancellation token. We're just gonna call it use array empty. And then in this, we're going to send it that document that we saw earlier. And then we want to send it the span for our diagnostic. So that's gonna be our diagnostic. Oh, so you can see IntelliSense broke. This is because if you've noticed, my IntelliSense probably looked strange and crazy and new. And that's because for Visual Studio 15, we're working on improving our IntelliSense, and you can see that we have filtering, if you saw me filtering as we were going through, and we bolded things. But I have a Franken build of it, so sometimes it dies. So just bear with me. Okay. Context.diagnostics. And then we're gonna get, from our diagnostics, we're gonna get a location. Oops. We have to get the first one. And then we're gonna get the location. And then we're gonna get its span. And then we're gonna pass the cancellation token. Great, so here we just registered the code fix. We gave it its title. We defined its callback and said it's gonna apply to the first diagnostic. So now all we have to do is generate our callback, which needs to be async, but the refactor, or our refactoring there doesn't add that. And then here we go, we're ready to go. So basically what you do when you do a code fix is the general principle behind it basically works is we have our syntax tree that has a subtree in it that we don't really want anymore. So we have this array creation expression that we don't want anymore. Instead, we want it to be an array.empty. So we're gonna build a little subtree of array.empty, and then we're gonna swap it in the tree with the other one. Technically, everything's immutable, so we're not really swapping, but you get the drift. All right, so in here, we need to get our syntax tree. So from the document, We're going to get our root. It takes a cancellation token. This is asynchronous, so we have to await it. And then from here, we now want to get that expression that we had from our analyzer. So expression from analyzer. So we can do root. And then we can do find. And so you can find a node, you can find a token, you can find trivia. For this example, we want to find the node. And we want to find the node that's at the span that we passed in. So at source span. Great, and so now there's three things we want to do. We need to figure out what the type of the array is that we're creating. And then we need to actually build the subtree for array.empty, and then we just need to swap everything. So let's power through these three things. So the first thing to get our, I killed IntelliSense again. Okay. All right, so the first thing we want to do is get our semantic model, because from our semantic model, we're going to get our operation. And if you remember from when we were looking at the documentation, there was that element type, and so that's going to be the type that we want. So we're going to basically get our semantic model, which remember before I said documents contain the semantic model, so sure enough, we get the semantic model here. We need to await it. Asynchronous, and then from our semantic model, we can get our operation. I spelled that wrong. So, and then get operation, so it takes our nodes, that's our expression from analyzer. And then we actually need to cast this as our iArray creation expression. And then now we should be able to, I'm just going to call it T because generics, you know. Or I could call it T for those of you who have contributed to Roslyn and got cups of tea. And so now I can do operation element type. If only IntelliSense worked. Okay. And so there, voila, I've already got the type that I need. So now I need to actually construct the node of what I'm doing. I'm going to do this in edit and continue. But first, I'm going to get IntelliSense back. So what we're going to do is we're going to F5, and we're going to look at the syntax tree for array.empty, so we can see what this tree needs to look like that we need to build. Oh, I forgot to return the document in this. So we're just going to do return document, even though for a placeholder for now. And so again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out what array.empty looks like syntactically so we can construct it. And then once we construct it, we're going to swap it in with our array creation expression. And to build this, we're going to use the syntax generator API, which is a language agnostic code generator, basically. So we go in here, open up our syntax visualizer, and when we highlight array.empty, we can see that it's an invocation expression. So I'll put it as a directed graph so you all can see this. You can see, oh, touch doesn't work in here. Okay, it's an invocation expression that has a member access expression, which has the identifier name, which is array, and then the generic name. So that's what we're going to do. So first let's hit our breakpoint. And sorry, I don't know why the light bulb goes on top, but we're just going to have to deal with it briefly. So what we're going to do now is we're, okay, so real quickly, so you all can see, we had the invocation expression, which had the member access expression, which then had the identifier and the generic. So this is what we're going to, we have to build all these things and put them all together on one invocation expression. So we're going to create our syntax generator. Syntax generator, we're going to get our generator from our document. And then we're just going to start constructing things. So the first thing we're going to do is get our array type expression. So we're going to use our syntax generator, we're going to create a type expression. type expression. And we're going to do exactly what we did when we did that analyzer, where we got the system.array from the metadata. So we're going to take our semantic model, we're going to get that compilation again, and from here, we're going to get our type by metadata name and get system.array. And so a cool thing that you can do when you do this while you're debugging is that while you step through everything, For some reason, we broke out of there. Okay, so as I step, then I can go to the immediate window, and you can see that I can type a array type expression toString. And as I toString this, then I can actually see exactly what this is. So then now when I create my generic, I can go to my syntax generator, and I can see there's a generic name here, which takes my identifier and my type, which is that T. And so now if I come back, step over this, come to the immediate window, I can type in generic.toString. And verify that that works, so I got empty of type string, which is exactly what I wanted. Now I can go and we can make our member access expression. So you can see it's kind of tedious, especially when I'm not inlining anything. Syntax generator, member access expression, which takes our array type expression and our member, or in our generic. And now if we come back, step over it, then we can see in here, member access dot toString. And you can see we're slowly just like building up this tree. And so the last thing we need to do is our invocation expression. And now we use our syntax generator and create our invocation expression, which then takes our member access. Member access. And then now if we come back and step over, go back here. We can see that we've successfully basically created the subtree for the fix that we wanted. So we have our system.array.empty of type string, which is exactly what we wanted. And now all we have to do is swap this bad boy out. So we're just going to create a new root for our tree. So we're going to take the root and we're going to replace it. And so when we replace it, it takes the old node and the new node. So the old one is our expression from the analyzer. Our new one is this invocation expression. And then we have to create a new document that uses this new root. So we're going to do document.with, so with the syntax root of our new root. And we're going to return now the new document. So now if I kill these breakpoints, and I click continue, then I should be able to go here. I now get a light bulb, and in the light bulb, you can see it suggests I use array.empty of type string. So, woohoo! And so again, what happened here was we have two different ways of initializing this zero length array, but we only had to consider that really at their core, they're just array creation expressions. And so that's where the power of IOperation comes in. And again, to show this abstraction layer is so high level, I can open up a VB program, and once the analyzer runs, I can see it squiggled it, and then the code fix in here, because we use the syntax generator API, which is language agnostic, it's constructed the correct fix in VB. Pretty cool stuff. So. We're back. All right, so again, we created an analyzer that initialized a zero-length array, and then we created a fixer that uses array.empty instead. And so you saw, like, literally the analyzer, I think, was 10 lines of code, and then maybe it was, like, 15 to 20 for the fixer. So these things are not super complicated to write. Let's see. It's not turning pages. Demo. All right, so awesome. So now you all saw how analyzers work and how fixers work. I got to show you what iOperation is. So iOperation, again, is very much in progress. It's something that we're working on today. We're still working on it. We have no idea what the end form is going to look like, but I just thought it would be really cool at Xamarin Involved to like give you a sneak peek of things that we're working on, especially to show like the analyzer story is constantly evolving, and we're always working to try to make Roslyn APIs better and better for you all. So basically, go out there today and try to like download some of these analyzers. For example, the C-Sharp Essentials one that Dustin has, you should play and learn with new C-Sharp 6 features so that when we release C-Sharp 7, you're like all the way caught up. And then try to build some. So build some analyzers with the Syntax Tree API, build some with iOperation if you can, and give us feedback on how they are. And if you have any questions, you can email me at kcu@microsoft.com. You can also tweet at me, follow me on Twitter, thanks. You can also follow at Roslyn on Twitter, where you can ask the team questions through that, and also tweet about cool things about Roslyn. So if you're working on cool Roslyn analyzers, just tweet out there and we'll retweet you and spread the Roslyn love. And I think we have 4 minutes left, so if any of you all have questions, you can feel free to ask them. And I think I'm supposed to tell you if you have questions to wait for the microphone to get to you first. So anyone? Nothing? All right, well, if we have no, okay, we got a question over there.
What is your favorite built-in analyzer?
Like built into Visual Studio already?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of all the refactorings that we've put in. So in Visual Studio 2015, there's a lot of refactorings that are in there. So I don't know, like all the generate method stuff, extract method. I probably use extract method like 5 times a day. And so these are all things that you all can write to using this stuff. I'd probably say that. And then, the stuff they're working on now is all the code style ones. So probably biased towards those at this point, but yeah. Anything else? Yeah, there's a question over here. My favorite analyzer of all time, though, was probably the ones that the interns built, where it was an analyzer that taught you how to write an analyzer. It just boggled the mind, you know?
And that was actually just about that.
Oh, okay.
That's available.
They wrote a blog post on it on the .NET blog, and so they have their source code, I believe, on GitHub somewhere. But, it was an intern project, so it's not like, completely finished or anything. But if you would like to finish it for them, that would be awesome. Basically, it was like, as we saw them writing it, we realized there's like so many possibilities of how you could make this like huge analyzer that taught you how to write all the different types of analyzers, and it quickly got out of scope for them, so we like scoped it down, so yeah. But we would love if you would create that, because that would be awesome. Anything else? Sorry, could you repeat? I think you were holding it too close. I like mumbled together, sorry. I think I got the gist of it. It was like you wanted to see if you could identify common patterns with an analyzer.
So there's a CLR application heap analyzer that you can download as a physics file. I'm pretty sure it's just for 15 and it uses this text.
Right, yes. Right. It should be possible because it's all just C sharp at the end of the day.
Good idea.
Yeah. I mean, you can build it, you know. Probably isn't that many lines of code. Where are you? Wait, where are you?
Here.
Okay, hi. Okay, yeah. So there's two different ways you can distribute analyzers. You can make them a V6, or you can distribute them as a NuGet package. And so that's where like the whole CodeWare library concept comes in, because you can basically package all these best practices, analyzers and fixers, into a NuGet package, and then use and distribute that. So for example, the FXCOP analyzers that I showed were NuGet packages. Yeah. Oh, and I'm out of time. So if you have any more questions, I'm going to be hanging out in the Microsoft Xamarin lounge area. And I also have some extra Roslyn stickers if any of you want some of those. So I'll be out there. I think Dustin and Mads will probably be out there too if you have any other questions regarding C#, Microsoft, et cetera. Thank you all for coming, and have a great rest of your conference.